Man, it's great to be here today. And I just, man, I'm just looking at Romans 15:13, and just when you begin to understand that hope is not a circumstantial hope. Yes, you can get excited when you get a raise. You can get excited when you get that career job, and that's awesome. And there is some financial security there, which is great. You get some hope when you get some good news, and we celebrate, and it's incredible, and you'll feel good about it. I mean, like when I asked Renee to marry me, like she was filled with hope. Like it was an incredible moment for her. It was great. I actually picked her up in my arms. I didn't do the whole one knee thing. I picked her up in my arms and held her and said, listen, will you marry me? And I was squeezing hard. So it was either yes or no. Life was in the ballast right there. True story. But, you know, you come back to a place to realize, man, I love her. Let me speak for me. I love our time of worship in this church. I love it. I love our worship leaders, and I love our instruments, and I love when God truly is able to move even on me and just come back to this place just to be reminded. My hope is not in circumstances, man. My hope is not in a season of life. I can't look at the season of life. I can't look at what's going on all around and allow that to just steal my joy and my peace when it's supposed to be a supernatural joy and it's supposed to be a supernatural peace. And you look at Romans, and Paul writes this letter to the Roman church, and the Roman church was under severe, severe persecution. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace so that you may abound. I love that. Overflow in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Man, that just, again, reminds me of God's nature and of God's promises, and that God sees all things, and by his Spirit, he reigns and dwells in you. If you have come to this place to acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and you've repented and you have believed, man, you come to this place to know I'm walking in the fullness of his Spirit, because his Spirit has come alive in me. And in that, there is this supernatural joy and this supernatural peace. And in that, man, that's what causes me to abound in hope. Church, I think the world needs a serious dose of hope. I think our region needs a serious dose of hope. And that is only found in Jesus. And that's only found in Jesus. And if we're pointing people anywhere, it has to be to Jesus right now. It has to be to Jesus. That Jesus Christ would come in and do a work in a husband and in a wife and in their teenagers and in their children and in college students today and do such a work. Come on, I'm so glad that you are with us this morning, man. Just a great day. I've had a great week of prep. I'm pumped for today. Coming off of last week, as you can see, I changed my table. I couldn't do the sit-down, big, huge round table. I felt like I was just being swallowed up for two services. The table was eating me alive, man. I'm just like, I got to move just a little bit. My man Mike sent me a nice text during the week. Dude, you stayed in the shot. Great job. I'm like, that's a one and done, Michael. I love you, baby, but... come on. Man, I'm glad you're here. If you missed last week, catch up last week, man. We're going over where we're at today in America and what the things that we need to really focus on coming off of this election and where we're at with President Biden and Vice President Harris and what that looked like. And I apologize sincerely. I misspoke on his name last week. My mind was going over the executive orders from President Obama and then President Biden. And I actually, an absolute mistake, said President O'Biden. And I did. And I don't even know if it was first service or second service. I do think it was actually the second service. And that was by absolute mistake. And I apologize for that. In complete respect. But listen, when you preach, your mind's going, and I know where I'm going, and I'm excited about it, and I'm pumped about it. And I said, President O'Biden, and people are like, oh, that was a good one. I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, you mixed Obama and Biden because they're like one of them. I'm like, that was total flop on my part. And I honestly apologize for that, because we respect that office here in America. But I'm not a fan of some of the decisions that our president and our vice president are making. And they affect serious lives. Last week we dealt with an executive order that had to deal with children in school and transgender, and we're not going to get into that. That was that was amazing, and last week was long, and I kept you long. I'm going to make up time today. We're going to get out before time is over, is my plan. But last week we went into, and we'll continue it today in that sense of sanctification and what it means. If you are a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, you're different, you're different, you're different. You're supposed to act different. You're supposed to think different. You're supposed to speak different because you've been sanctified. You've been set apart. You're not to act like this world. You're not to smell like this world. You're not to look like this world. We read it in John 17, made it so clear. Jesus Christ in his prayer to the Father says, listen, I need them in the world, but I don't want them to be a part of the world. We look at the seriousness of the church today in America, the man we look like, smell like, and act like the world, and it stinks. Our mindset is not on the Bible, and our mindset, and I'm not talking about the world. The world's going to do what the world's going to do. A sinner's going to sin. A painter's going to paint. I'm talking about people in church who claim to be Christians. I'm talking about people who will come and raise their hands and worship and not have a clue of what we're called to do in our holiness and what we're called to do and walk in a different place in a different mindset and a different language and a different look. And today we look at the issue of abortion here in America and what we can expect for the next 4 years. And I've got my wife in prep mode this morning, just in my prayer time this morning, and drive around and just really had some amazing time with the Lord this morning in my rattle run, and just went to different schools and was praying over our kids and our generation, and just went to different churches and praying for them, and just found myself in this place where I really felt in my heart I wanted Renee to close this message today. And of course, she shows up. I'm like, honey, I need you to close the service today. She's like, what? Like, yeah, it'll be great. You're amen. High five and I walk away. She's like, ah. I'm like, because we know the real issue of the hurt and the pain and the brokenness of abortion. We know that from moms who have gone through that. And my bride is going to address some things there. So I'm going to be done at 10 after. So we got to cruise because she's coming in. She's the closer today, man. She is. She's in. And I just want to pray because this is one of those very real issues, biblically speaking, that we voted in, America voted in, and it is known. And we'll talk about it today over articles in the sense of the most pro-abortion administration that this country has ever seen. And they're excited about it. And it should crush us, church. It should crush us to know that. But it shouldn't surprise you because they were on their megaphones screaming their plan. And we as a church, we need to be prepared. Please hear me. We need to be prepared to fight like we've never fought before. And it doesn't change our mindset as a church. It doesn't change our hatred for abortion, for murder. And people say, oh, Sean, that's a political issue. It is not a political issue. This is a life and death biblical issue of wicked and wrong that is done. So get that the heck out of your mind if you think this is political. This is life and death in the womb, that which God created before politics ever showed up. By the way, before America ever showed up. So let's get some things straight right away. Man, you're just starting hot. I'm starting hot today. We don't need to win no warm-up today. Let's just get going. Because the reality is as the pastor of Believer's Chapel, I need to prepare you for what's coming. And guess what? There's a lot that's coming in regards to this abortion issue. There's a lot that they undid already in the first week. There's a lot that our president did to undo some amazing good things that our past President Trump did. And he just writes it away. As we clearly communicated last week, left hand on the Bible to be sworn in and right hand to erase some amazing that President Trump did do in regards to the abortion issue. America just voted out probably the most pro-life president we've had in modern day history. And there's so much smoke and mirrors in regards to press. They wouldn't even cover things that President Trump actually did do. And you better be aware of that. So let's just count. Can we just set the table this morning? That this was a biblical issue way before America was ever born 244 years ago. This was a Bible issue before anyone brought politics into life. So I just want to set that stage. Let's pray and let's get into this. Come on, Father, I thank you so much for the moments that we have today. I thank you for your word. Your word is alive and powerful. And Father, I just pray that we would walk in it today in such a real way that we would understand life and death and we would understand your heart towards this. God, we're amazed by you and we love you. And as a church, Father, we stand on the grounds of life. We stand on the grounds of that amazing gift in the womb. It's your design plan for the female body to give birth. God, in your amazing creation, you created the female body. It's stunning how it works. It's incredible. It's amazing. It's beautiful. It's special. It's unique to the female only. How in your great creation of the female body, it is created to give life. It is designed to produce life and to give life. I pray that we would stand strong in our position. Be ready for what's ahead. Father, we want to honor you. Above all things, we want to please you at the end of the day. That you'd be proud of us. That you'd be proud of us. In Jesus' name, come on, amen. Come on, 1 Thessalonians 4, please. We got a lot to cover in a few minutes here. So I want to get into this. And I want us to see the reality of just a little bit of reading here. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 1. Finally then, brethren, we request and exhort you in the Lord Jesus that as you received from us instruction as how to ought to walk and please God, just as you actually do walk and you excel still more. For you know the commandments we gave you by the authority of the Lord Jesus. For this, the will of God, your sanctification, we're still on sanctification. We have to realize all of this comes from a place that you and I are called to be set apart. Lord, sanctify them in truth, for your word is truth. That which sanctifies us is our stance on the word of God. That the word of God is the test, and it's the only test. The word of God is the truth, and it's the only truth. And you walk in this place to realize, God, I walk in your truth as a believer. When it comes to issues of life, we turn to the word of God because this is what sets us apart. So I love this, and this is what it's saying. Watch this. For this, the will of God, your sanctification, you being set apart for the purpose of holiness, for God's holiness, watch this, that is that you abstain from sexual immorality, that covers, sexual immorality covers a range of sin. Moral, so that covers, guess what, just so everyone in this room and online is aware, sex before marriage is still a sin, regardless of the sexual generation that we are in, regardless of the free porn that you can find every corner. Sex before marriage, sex is beautiful, it's amazing, it's wonderful, it's a gift, it's special, it's fun, it's awesome for a husband and a wife as God set it up to be. Anything before that, anything outside of that is sin. When people start getting into the sex question, anything outside of marriage is sin. If you have a boyfriend or a girlfriend and you're not married and you're having sex, it's sin, sexual immorality. If you're married and you're sleeping around on your husband or your wife, that's adultery. That's sexual immorality. So when you look at this, just to be clear, over 95% You want to deal with the abortion issue? Over 95, and I'm being generous. It's more probably close to 98. But I'm trying to be careful on stats, to be on a lenient side of stats. It's closer to 98, but I'm going to say 95% of all abortion is out of convenience. I didn't expect this. I didn't want this. This changes my life now, and I don't want it, and it's an easy fix. 95 to 98% is an easy fix. For what? Because you had sex before you were married. And when you walk into a place, if you fix the sexual immorality issue, the abortion issue will fix itself. But we have sex on convenience. We have sex on demand. And it is a, watch this, here it is, it's a spiritual battle. When you're dealing with such sexual immorality in this generation. So watch this, here it is. That you abstain from sexual immorality. For each of you know how to possess your own vessel in sanctification and honor. Isn't it amazing that you're accountable to your own body? You're accountable to your vessel, and it's speaking of your body, that you're to hold your body in this place of honor, that you are to possess your own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in lustful passions like the Gentiles who do not know God, that no man transgresses to defraud his brother. Watch this, please hear this. That no man transgresses and defraud his brother. You better be careful on teaching today that will excuse sexual immorality. You ought to be careful on any teaching today that wants to change and rearrange the Bible when it comes to sexual orientation, when it comes to gender. You better be very careful, because it's starting to creep in the church. And you better be very careful. Watch this. Who will defraud his brother in the manner, because the Lord is the avenger. I love that. The Lord is the avenger. Avenger here, it means punisher. God's not going to take lightly those who mislead people. I love that. The Lord is the avenger. And avenger, it literally biblically means the punisher. Well, listen, God is just all love. Yes, he is love, but he also judges. And in judgment, there's punishment. And if you don't know Christ Jesus as Lord and Savior, the punishment is eternal. And God is not going to play games with those who defraud the church. God is not going to play games when people are trying to twist and misalign scripture. When it comes to sexual immorality, when it comes to gender, when it comes to these issues, God is going to defend and God is going to punish. And you look at this and you see this and all these things, just as we were told before and solemnly warned you. For God has not called you for the purpose of immorality, but the purpose of sanctification. I love this. Come on, turn with me to 2 Timothy, please. We look at 2 Timothy verse 22. Now flee from youthful lust and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace. I love that. Pursue. Like, listen, flee youthful lust. Flee, it means to run as far away as possible. Flee as far away as possible. Don't find yourself in a compromising position. But go after, pursue, chase down righteousness, faith, love, and peace. With those who call on the Lord from a pure heart, but refuse foolish, ignorant speculations, knowing that they produce quarrels. The Lord's bondservant must not be quarrelsome, but kind to all, able to teach, patient when wronged, with gentleness correcting those in opposition. I love this part. Because we are about to oppose, and we're about to come against a very strong position of pro-life versus pro-choice. And you walk in this place going, it's not that we're called to ignore it. He says, you are called to respond to it, but we're supposed to respond to these things, the things that we talked about last week, the things we talk about today, the things that are up and coming. The church is supposed to oppose, and the church is supposed to come against, but we walk into place to know that these people need Jesus. Our president and vice president need Jesus, and I'm praying that they find Christ in such a real way. I'm praying there is a repentance of sin. Don't play games with putting your hand on the Holy Bible and then write in the script the murder of quite possibly one of the most disastrous four-year reign of abortion in this country. Right now, we're up to 800,000 to a million a year. And if you signed up to allow up to 4 million, if not more than that, in the next 4 years, 4 million babies murdered, please check your heart. Because that's what we voted for. Not me, but that's what America voted for. Oh, Sean, this is just one issue. Man, we could get into a long list of long issues, but this one is absolutely at the top. And this is nothing new. This is nothing new. And you look at this, and you know what? Can I just say this in a very loving, pastoral way? I hope we're uncomfortable. I hope we're angry. I hope this just ticks you off in your spirit. Whether you're mad at me, good luck. If you're like, well, this is super strong, good. We come to this place to realize the battle of what just took place in our country. And you can't be okay with that. As a follower of Christ, you just can't be okay with murder in their womb when you know that it is God who created the female body, and it is amazing, and it is beautiful, and it's intense when the seed is planted and things begin to take place, and automatically when the fruit begins, it's life in the womb immediately at conception, complete different DNA line. We don't have time to get into all the science of this, but you know it. If you study this, you know this. It's a complete, total, separate life. Within this amazing life in the woman and the body's creation, it's incredible how God created the female body to produce life within life. But it's okay to just turn off that light of that life. Because of convenience. Come and remove the rape issue. That is a 1% less than. The incest, less than 1%. We can have a real conversation about those issues. But you walk in a place to realize the reality of what we're talking about is 95 to 98% convenience. Because this is a hassle for me. This isn't planned. And it's going to change my life. Well, just maybe we should have put some thought to that before we start sleeping around. Men, ladies, come on, I gotta get into this. Here we go. Come on, turn with me, please. I want you to see this in Acts. I want you to see this in Acts, because this is something that isn't anything new. And you see this in Acts 7. And I love this, because Acts 7, here in Acts, it's actually referencing to Moses and Pharaoh in Exodus 1 and 2. And you know the amazing story that Pharaoh is like, listen, we're going to take out all of the born males. And he tells all the midwives to say, listen, as soon as they're born, they didn't have ultrasound. As soon as they're born, if they're males, we're killing them. Throw them in the river. Kill them. If they're females, we keep them. And you see, this isn't anything new of killing infants. You see, this isn't anything new of killing the womb. And you see this in Acts 7. I want you to see this. Verse 18. Or verse 19. We'll start in 19. It was he who took shrewd advantage of our race and mistreated our fathers so that they would expose their infants. That means abandoned to die, and that they would not survive. And it was at this time that Moses was born, that he was lovely in the sight of God, and he was nurtured 3 months in his father's house. Like you see this and you understand that there was the killing of infants right from the mother's womb. This goes way back to Exodus 1. And you begin to understand what this looks like, even from a biblical perspective, that it's nothing new. Guess what? When Jesus was born, what did Herod do? Listen, I want to kill all males from two and under, from birth to two. Kill all the infants. This is nothing new. And you look, you look at this, and you look at what is taking place. And you look at the born-again believer who will stand firm on this and not be spineless. You look at the churches today that will be vocal and oppose this. And you look at the individual, the person. Christian or non, guess what? There's a lot of non-believers who say, God, that's wrong. You don't have to be just a Christ follower to know that that's wrong. You look at this and you see where, right from the White House, this is a quote from our president, President Biden. And for the past 4 years, reproduction health, including the right to choose, he's speaking of abortion, has been under the relentless and extreme attack. Isn't it amazing that he says that President Trump was relentless in him siding with pro-life? He said, President Trump, he attacked. And when you begin to understand, relentless in attack, because he was so pro-life. He's like, watch this. We're just going to overturn this relentless attack of the past 4 years. Where he just comes and undoes what President Trump did to protect life in the womb. We are deeply committed to making sure everyone has access to care, including reproductive health care, regardless of income, race, zip code, health insurance status, or immigration status. The Biden-Harris administration is committed to codifying Roe versus Wade. And that means that they're going to appoint, you talk about the Supreme Court here in America, you talk about the importance of the leader of this country to assign the right people to Supreme Court. That is a lifetime appointment. They're going to set the law of the land. It is their purpose and their priority when there's an open seat, and even possibly to add more seats, which shouldn't happen, to the Supreme Court for the purpose of codifying, for the purpose. And what codifying means, it means that once a Roe versus Wade is codified, the Supreme Court has no place to overturn it. It's done. Then they start taking over as a federal government. They start having the ability to take over the state-to-state decisions on abortions. And in the last 4 years, we started to make some serious ground of state-to-state-to-state beginning to make restrictions on abortions. We were gaining some ground by the slice of an executive order. We're going to erase the relentless and the attack, as a quote. We look at the Hyde Amendment has been quite the topic of leading into this election, and it's been around for quite some time. And the Hyde Amendment is one where Trump was very much in support of this Hyde Amendment that would restrict any of our federal funds, any of our taxes, to be paid for health care or for Medicare. And here they want to go after this Hyde Amendment and begin to supplement the taxes that you and I pay so that they can begin to pay for abortion. Could you imagine what's going to happen in the next 4 years when abortion becomes free? It becomes a part of healthcare. It becomes a part of insurance. You imagine just even financially where your insurance rates are going to go, where they're already unbelievable. Could you imagine when they start picking up the cost of abortion? And you start looking at President Trump and what he did even against Planned Parenthood. And how he stopped federal funds going to Planned Parenthood. And Planned Parenthood was this, as you well know, is an organization that is the abortion organization that is set up by the founder. And you please do research on this. I'm asking you to do research on this. Margaret Sanger. And if you start doing research on this individual, and it's all way public now, there's videos that you can find. When you begin to understand who this woman is and the founder of Planned Parenthood and what she wanted to accomplish, I want to read this to you. Because it is stunning to me. That for the first time in history, we have a female vice president who is a black female. And one of her platforms was to continue funding Planned Parenthood. When Planned Parenthood was founded by a woman who is very clearly a racist, a woman who spoke to the Ku Klux Klan on how to honestly come to this place. Let me read this part of this article. This was in the USA Today. There's many articles like this in regards to Margaret Sanger. For those identifying the historical figures with racist roots, isn't it amazing that we just tore down, not we, but the rioters just tore down a bunch of statues? That was just criminal, illegal, but supported by certain Democrats, that this is a good thing. Let's destroy these statues because they may have had ties to racial, maybe they had slaves, which if you really get into the whole background of these leaders on how they actually treated their slaves, you'd have a whole different take. But it was okay to rip down and destroy and try to rearrange history. But when you have a known racist, this is from the USA Today. For those identifying historical figures with racist roots who should be removed from public view because of their evil histories, Planned Parenthood's founder, Margaret Sanger, must join that list in promoting birth control. She advanced controversial Negro Project, which wrote in her autobiography, speaking to the Ku Klux Klan group and advocating for eugenics approach for breeding. That means weed out the weak. That means those who don't contribute, take them out. And she's speaking this to the Ku Klux Klan. Well, what would happen if you knew President Trump spoke to the Ku Klux Klan? My goodness, people would lose their marbles. I mean, no, seriously. What would happen if the founder of any huge organization today was known to speak at the Ku Klux Klan, to speaking to a specific evil? Listen, Ku Klux Klan is evil, and they are wrong, and they are terrible, and they are racist, but she stands in front of them, says, we need to weed out the weak. And yet now it's coming out that, okay, yeah, maybe we should remove her name from some documents. But let's carry on the exact plan that she set in place. And let's fund that as a government. Church, what part of this doesn't make sense? Where is it in Romans 1:28 where the Lord says, listen, you've done your sin, you've done your sin, you've done your sin, you've done your sin, and I give you over to your sin, for you have a reprobate mind. Your mind is lost. What happens when God will give America over to our reprobate lost mind. Church, what happens when you come to a place to identify where we, it's amazing where we have the Black Lives Matter organization and funding and full support of the Planned Parenthood organization. We have the first Black American female as vice president, and it is her goal to fund Planned Parenthood and push for health care and our taxes to go towards the organization that was founded by a racial woman who hated blacks and Chinese. Why aren't our wonderful, beautiful black community coming against Planned Parenthood as hard as they've come against these statues? Why isn't it happening? Yet we've come against Planned Parenthood. And it was the founder's position to place her abortion clinics in poor black neighborhoods, trying to take out a population. And she's made that clear. Okay, we take your name off a list, but we're just going to continue her work. Are you serious? Church, at what point do we come to a place to say we are going to have to fight and we're going to have to walk in a place as not even just a church? Our church stance is clear. Watch this, please hear me. Even in the wrong of sexual immorality, even in the wrong of sex before marriage, don't commit a second evil. There's hope. Listen, there's a lot of evil. There's a lot of evil, and there's a lot of wrong. Why isn't this looked at as wrong? In America, if a man forcibly rapes a stranger as a woman, nobody thinks that's okay. Everyone looks at that and evil. I have a whole different, I think you should get a pair of scissors out so it never happens again. That's just my thought. And I'm not kidding. Because our justice system loves to let them out, so they do it again, and then they get the whole three strikes and you're out. I'm like, it would be one and let's slice and cut, and then it won't ever happen again. But everyone thinks that's evil. But yet we take this amazing, beautiful gift in the womb. And we had a president who stood on some grounds to write some things in order, that we have now a president and vice president that cheer and clap and get so excited that we just can erase the relentless evil attacks. Are you serious? Church, we can't be okay with that. And we need to walk in a place as a church to realize there's time to oppose, there's time to fight. There's time to support organizations such as Bright Alternatives, and this is a free pitch for them. We support this organization. We love this organization. We have people in this church that are on their board. When we walk in this place to realize the hurt and the brokenness. Where's my bride? Come on up here, girl. God, just truly the hurt and the brokenness of those who've gone through something like this. And let me just say this very clearly, the hurt and the brokenness of our black brothers and sisters, our black communities, that it's been made such a convenience and such an easy couple steps to go to the clinic. And that's been on purpose from Planned Parenthood. And this is a fact. Why is it that our black, amazing black community that makes up 13% of America, 13% of America, but yet they account for almost 40% of all abortions in America? That's a stunning fact. And yet that was Planned Parenthood's point. But we just, yeah, let's erase her name, but let's just continue with her agenda. Are you serious? Why is that okay? Why is it okay that they're going to get our funding? And you may say, Sean, what are we supposed to do? We are supposed to get involved, and you are to call and get involved with your legislators and your oversight in New York and say, we are not okay with this. And you are called to pray, and you are called to hold your ground. And I want change. I want real change when it comes to life. I want real change when it comes to true life in the womb. Well, who's going to stand in the way of that? Church, who's going to stand in the way of that? Those who voted for it, they're not going to stand in the way of it. Those who thought, hey, that's just one issue, I'm going to vote. No. You just voted for 4 years of an open book. On murder and abortion. And I am hopeful that you're not okay with that. I hope. But that's enough of the tough. Let's get into the tender. Can we get into the tender? Okay. I'm the tough, you're the tender.
Yes.
TNT, baby.
God said he sent his word to heal us. And
it's all you now, girl. I'm going to back up.
So let's run to the word of God in Deuteronomy 30. My heading says choose life, which is perfect. I mean, I just looked this up. And it says, listen closely. This is our Heavenly Father, the God of the universe, speaking to us. And he says, listen closely. So let's listen closely. I have set before you today life and prosperity and death, and that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, so that you will live and multiply, and that the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away and you will not hear and obey, but are drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you will certainly perish. You will not live long in the land which you crossed the Jordan to enter and possess. I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you today that I have set before you life and death, the blessing and the curse. Therefore, you shall choose life in order that you may live, you and your descendants, by loving the Lord your God, by obeying his voice, and by holding closely to him. For he is your life, your good life, your abundant life, your fulfillment, and the length of your days, that you may live in the land which the Lord promised and swore to give to you and your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I really just see here where it says, but if your hearts turn away and you will not hear and obey, but you're drawn away. The word of God says that, you know, his word is truth, and he's consecrating us and sanctifying us and making us separate by his word and the truth. And we just need to run to his word. And he sent his word to heal us, and we're just such a broken people in such a broken land. And for the most part, you know, we're being told so many lies. And I just feel for our youth and for these young people who are being taught these things in education, where they're portraying these things as truth, which they are not truth, they're lies, that, you know, the seed which God has put inside of you, which comes to life, is not life. And we just need to set everything straight today, right now. Your seed is alive. You know, a woman has seed inside of her, and that seed is alive. And so let's just remember that God has set these things before us and we need to obey. We don't sacrifice children. That is not what God has called us to do. We are his people. He is our God. We are different. We don't walk according to the way of the world. And we need to set before these things before us today and realize that we walk in a different way. And like Sean said last week, we need to live according to the word, not the world. The world's ways are not our ways. And I'm just want to pray and just trust God that, you know, this truth is getting in your heart today. And that you'll run to the word and you'll be close to the word. The Bible says that the word of God is close to us. It's near to us. It's not some far off truth that we can't grasp it and hold on to it and have it near in our hearts. And so I just want to encourage you today to hide that word in your heart, to live by it. Run to the word of God whenever you have a question, whenever you have that inkling in your spirit, you're uncomfortable, you don't know what to do. Open the word of God. I mean, we all can use our Google nowadays. If you just have that little seed inside of you and you know part of the verse, I always run to the word and I just enter the part of the verse that I know and I can read the full disclosure that God has given us, and it's such a blessing. So let's just pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that we are your people. You are our God, Lord, that you will sanctify us. And Lord, you will set us apart, Lord God, that we will obey your word, Father, that we will not turn to idols and we won't turn to things in this world, Father God, that we know are not true and are not right, Lord. I pray, God, over all of these young women in this place today, Lord, and those who are listening online, Father, that they will know, Father God, that blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Lord God, that you bless us, Lord God, that you have given us this as a blessing, Lord God. It is not a curse, Father. And I pray that you would open the eyes of all the blind, Father God, that they, if they believed a lie, Father, that this is not life, Lord, I pray, God, that you will take the blinders off their eyes and they will see, Father, that God, there is life within us, Lord God, and you have given it to us. You have put it there for your purpose, Lord God. And so I pray, God, that if any have gone through the heartache of listening to the world and telling them that they can do something that will help them to get rid of life, God, that you would just heal their hearts, Lord. That you, oh God, would heal them, Lord God, and that you would restore them, Father, that by your stripes they would be healed, Father, that you died on a cross for our sins, Lord God, and all of us have sinned. We have all fallen short, Lord God. None of us is exempt from sin, Lord God. And I pray, God, over the shame, Lord, that would come, Father, that you would restore them, that, Father, you would take away the shame, Lord God, and that you would fill their hearts with joy and gladness, Father God, that they would walk out their life in a way that glorifies you now, Lord God, that we overcome, Lord, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, Father, that we will have such a testimony, Lord God, that even though there has been sin, Lord God, that you are the forgiver of sin. You are our only hope, Father. We know, Lord, that nothing else satisfies, that you are our only hope. And so I just pray, Father, for men and women, Lord God, that they will drop to their knees, that they would repent and turn, Lord God, from all of these things, Lord God, that just destroy life and family, Lord, and destroy our hope for future, Lord God, that you would come to your people now by your Holy Spirit, Father, and show us your ways, that, Lord, we would not ignore your ways, Lord, Father, that we would not turn a deaf ear to your ways, Lord, that we would obey, and we know that obedience is better than sacrifice. Lord, that we will walk in this way, that we will love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, Father, and that we will recall to mind the things that you have given us in your precious word. Lord, we thank you that, Holy Spirit, that you will just fall upon each and every heart right now. Lord God, that forgiveness is here. Lord God, that you will restore and heal. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. And here, let me close out. Come on, Father, we do just ask that if there are any who are pregnant, and Father, if they've even thought of this, Father, I'm asking they would truly seek counsel and they would seek help. Father, those who are any mindset towards going through the heartbreak of an abortion, Father, I pray for the sake of life that, Father, by your Spirit, there would be conviction, and by your Spirit, God, they would cry out for help. They cry out for the right voice. They cry out for great, healthy counsel. For those who are struggling in this, whether even in this room, whoever would watch this online, God, that there is hope for them and there is a better plan for them. There is a plan of life. And Father, we just ask that you would move in a powerful way, that they would choose life. That God, they would choose life. For whatever that battle that would rage within between light and dark, God, whatever that battle that would rage within their spirit and their soul over this issue, God, they have just a limited amount of time. As being pregnant, God, they have a limited amount of time to make the right choice. Father, I pray that we would be present. God, that we would be ready to walk in that place, to walk people through healing, to walk people through hope, to walk people through that sense of joy and peace again. And if there are any women in this house or online or anyone that we would know of, God, that is in the middle of this severe battle within their spirit of life or death, God, I pray that we would have opportunity. God, open a door for opportunity to be able to speak life to a conflicted spirit, God, please. In Jesus' name, come on, amen? Amen, amen, amen. We're good on a song. I appreciate you playing, Katie. And I wanted to be done early and I didn't get it done. I'm so sorry. Church, we'll get it. I'll work on this. And I mean that. But I love you. And seek tonight, 5:00. Here we go. Come on. Amen.